Together with our differences, together we are bolder, braver, stronger.
Check, 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 check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Shout out. are you? Good, doing well.
Good.
Good. How's your summer been? It's been good. It's been busy. Trying to relax now.
Yeah.
But it's been really good.
Do you have a busy fall?
I do. Yeah.
Do you travel a little bit more?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of ministry coming up in September and then in October. Yeah. So. I do. Yeah, we have a group from Indiana coming the second week of September, so they'll be with us for a week, training, outreach. Yeah, cool. Hi. This one. Yeah, good to see you. How are you? Good to see you. I'm hanging in there. Your love never fails and never gives up. Depend on the Lord. Your love never fails and never gives up. Amen. And never runs out on me. Talk about that.
Yes.
When there's when there's doubt, depend on the Lord.
Well, good morning, Trinity. Our summer's almost drawing to a close, which is sad, but at the same time, Pastor Keith's going to be returning soon. Woo! Whoop! That's for Pastor Keith. And then today we get the great pleasure of having Pastor Swartz with us again, and we look forward to the message that he's bringing. And so Rashawn's going to give us our opening scripture and call to worship.
Hey, good morning, Trinity. I'm gonna read the opening scripture from Romans 1, verses 1 through 6. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which he had promised afforded by his prophet and the Holy Scripture, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made in the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of the holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we bow our heads, please? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for another glorious day, Lord, that you have allowed us to all come into this body of Christ, Trinity, Father God, that we may all fellowship together, Lord, that you may lay on the heart of our brother Scott Swartz the message that we need to receive, Father God, each and every one of us, Lord. You do that so diligently. You touch us, Lord, in the ways that you can only touch us, Father God. We ask that you continue to allow your grace and mercy, Lord, your guidance upon Trinity, Father God, the ones that are near, the ones that are far away, Father God, that you just may bless this message for us today, Lord, that we may leave this sanctuary and go about our day, our week, Father God, with your band of angels upon us, Father God, with your light shining through us, Lord, so that others may see, that we may lead them to you, Father God. But most importantly, Lord, we just want to say that we love you for your grace, for your mercy, Father God, for your forgiveness, for that day on the cross that you bared for all of us, Father God, just to be here, Lord. We give you all the praise, Heavenly Father. We give you all the thanks. We say we love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus Christ. We love you, Father God. Amen.
I am an instrument of exaltation, and I was born to lift your name above all names. You hear the melody of all creation, but there's a song of praise that only I can bring. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only Jesus. You are the infinite God of the ages. Yeah, you chose to make my heart your dwelling place. You healed my brokenness, showed me your glory. So I have sought is worthy. Who else is worthy? There is no one, only Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy?
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Ooh.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean, so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. You are Jireh. You are enough. So clear what it's all about. So stay by my side when the sun goes down. Don't wanna forget how I feel right now. Jireh, Jireh, you are enough.
I know that you are.
Jireh,
you
are enough.
Okay.
morning. Good morning, I'm Scott. Hi, Tina. Nice to meet you. Hi. Yes. Good to see you. I've met before. Yeah.
Awesome again.
Thank you, Tina.
We got our van.
Oh, yeah? Oh, nice.
Yes,
okay.
We raised money with the mission.
Yep. Awesome. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Wow. So Lexington.
See the tomb.
Okay.
Where he laid. See the stone.
Okay.
Rolled away.
Awesome. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'll pray for that. All right. I love it. Okay.
See his hands. See his feet. Touch his scars. And believe. He is risen. He is risen.
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah. All by myself. I do. I don't want to be a statistic. Right. Because I don't know who's going to help me. People want this church, it's a car. I don't know.
Hear the shackles breaking free. The song of the redeemed. He is moving.
Okay. Yeah.
He is moving. He's alive.
Yeah. Oh,
so take this freedom. Take this love. Can you feel it rising up? He is here. He is here.
I hear you.
He's alive.
Yeah, man.
We're about ready to get started. I'm told to make sure I hold the microphone because higher, see? Anyway, good morning. Was that great worship or what?
Yes.
Fantastic. And that's part of what we do here at Trinity's is we want to learn, grow, and serve. So the announcements and church life I'm going to mention here, you know, mimic that. Learning, growing, and serving so that we can become disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, knowing who God is in a personal way. And those are the things that we try to do here at Trinity, by learning, growing, and serving. So today, from 2 to 3 o'clock, is an outreach to the Lexington House at 127 7th Street in Lakewood for 1 hour. It's an outreach to that group of people there. So we'll be assembling there at the facility, and then we'll be spending some time with the people there. Housing and Homeless Coalition is September 18th from 11 to 1 p.m. It's every Thursday of it's every third Thursday of every month. So every third Thursday of every month, we go to that homeless coalition, and we're going to have a little bit of testimony after I get finished here. We're starting our Bible study soon. I know everybody's a little bummed out that summer's ending. Okay, I kind of like summer ending because my son and I work as horticulturalists outside, and we get tired. And so when we feel the change, we get energized. We get energized. You guys get kind of like down a little bit. Summer's ending, but we look forward to it. And so we're going to be starting our Bible studies every Tuesday morning. And then we have a Digging Deeper series on Sunday mornings. You know, a lot of churches don't even have Bible studies. But we are vibrant here as we want to learn, grow, and serve. So on September 7th, is the Digging Deeper series, which meets right down the hallway. And we start from 9:30 to 10:15, and it's going to be the book of Job. So it's great, because a little bit of work involved. You get a book, you got to do a little bit of homework, and then we interact with amongst each other about the study, and we go through the entire year. So it's excellent. So it's great. So if you want to know more about the book of Job, come see us on the 7th of September down at the end of the hall. Okay? The Bible studies start that following Tuesday on September 10th. And so for you men, I know it's hard, but we meet at 6:30 in the morning. And we meet at 6:30 in the morning to 7:30. We're pretty much on the dot, on the clock. We don't go past 7:30, but it's 6:30 to 7:30, and we're going to be starting the book of Job and Hebrews. So the men meet on Tuesday morning at 6:30 down the hall, and the women meet at 9:30 in the morning, and they meet right here in the sanctuary, same books, 9:30. Now, you got to let my wife know, Betsy, that if you're planning on attending, let her know, because she wants to order some books and stuff like that. So just pull her aside and just say to her, hey, listen, I'd like to go. She can order a book for you. But she wants to get a head count as soon as she can. And then there's also going to be, for women who can't make it in the morning, there's going to be a 7 p.m. study, same thing, for those women who can't get out there at 9:30 in the morning. There's going to be a new study, same study, but we've added a class in the evenings at 7 p.m. So that's what's going on with Bible studies and stuff like that. And then, of course, as always, we have the monthly barbecues, which start not this next Sunday, but the following Sunday on September 7th. Pastor Keith will be back by then. So that'd be great. So anyway, that handles the announcements, and we're going to now have some testimony from Jingping and Angela concerning the outreach on last Thursday. They're going to say a few words about that. So come on up. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Angela and I have known each other for a long time.
Real long time.
Real long.
Longer than we want to tell you. This was my second time going to the Toms River Coalition, Homeless Coalition, is that what it's called? Do I have it right? And the last time, they usually have a shower ministry that brings, I guess, more people because they know it's going to be there. And the last time, the people that do that ministry were away. So there were a lot more people this time because the shower ministry was back. And that made it a little harder for me in the fact that I was able to sit with people the first time because it wasn't as busy. And I have this servant heart, so being that there were a lot of people and a lot of things to do, I just kind of get right in with the serving. But within the first 10 minutes, you know, Andrew already introduced me to two people that had accepted the Lord, so we praise God for that. And then we prayed for a gentleman named Sal at the end. That was, I think, the last person, right, that we prayed with, who really, he took, was it a New Testament we gave him? And I think he was just really excited. I think something, though, you know, I go home and I always feel, I might feel a little bad as far as not being able to have spoken to more people about the Lord. But I guess a couple of things I'll just mention and then I'll hand the mic over. Number one is, first I want to thank everybody here because when you go down to that mission room in the church here where we have all our stuff, let me tell you, the Lord blesses us as a mission team because you people bless us with a lot of stuff. We get a lot of new stuff, and that's a wonderful thing to be able to give these people new stuff, a new little blanket, new just and all of the toiletries. Then we put, you know, in anything that we have as we're making the blessing bags up or whatever we're packaging together, or we put in sometimes the daily bread. Of course, there's sometimes we had the Gospel of John. And I think that what makes our blessing bags different from, say, this other group that was there this Thursday, and maybe they go other times as well, they had blessing bags that were chock full, these nice little backpack things. But as I was talking to the women, they had a lot of good ideas. They had things in there that we just never even thought of. And I thought, oh, that's a good idea. But nothing that they mentioned, and they had little stickers. And this was a young girl that started this out of her home because she had such compassion. But nowhere in their stuff, and the sticker says, you matter, and they certainly do, but nowhere does it remind them that God loves them and that, you know, although this is overwhelming what they're going through right now, and it overwhelms me to see what some of them are going through, I think in the long run, the stuff is going to go, you know, it's going to be used up and so forth, but we try to give them the future and the hope that the Lord can only give them. And so when they leave, even if nothing on this earth gets any better, if they accept Jesus Christ, they'll know that they have a future and that they have so much more to look forward to. So I think that's what blesses my heart. And then also to realize that as a team, those of us who do serve and so forth, we need to be the servants so that the evangelistic people can be out there really spreading the word and praying and getting people to understand who Jesus is. And then, let's see, there was one more thing. Oh, I just want to let you know just the degree of what these people, you know, how they cherish things. So I was asked to pass out some donuts, and we had these little plates. And I didn't even realize at the time I could have used a scripture verse, but it had an anchor on it. It was like a nautical looking little paper plate. So as I gave this one woman a plate, she said, oh, can I have two plates? And I said, sure. I thought she was going to take two donuts. And she said, no, she likes to decorate her room with them. So, I mean, this is, you know, the level. She was, you know, looking for some extra plates just so she could decorate her room. So anyway, that touched my heart. And I hope that you understand that if you can't join us, that you're joining us with all the things that you donate. And we're so blessed by it all. Thank you.
Actually, you guys is already joining us because you guys have all the donations over there. That's the love from the church. And secondly, when I go there, you know, I see the pictures totally blow me away because his love is right there. Not just to feed them, not just to see what you want, but that was a big smile to say, good morning, hi. And they get a really, really respect. They hardly gonna get it in their life routinely. So there's wonderful things. And then I see all the God's loves, all loved them, so that not only feed them, also we are passing overflow or God's love to them. And so the ultimate, more important for us is to tell them how Jesus loved them. So this is wonderful things for all of us. And thank you, all the brothers and sisters.
Great, thank you. Great. So that's every third Thursday of every month, and it's only from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and you don't have to really know anything. You just show up and then just see what happens. And you just kind of get going and yes, Andrew. Yeah.
I just want to say thank you for Marie and Lou. They was at the Homeless Coalition Thursday. Miss Maria, she suffered some stings in her neck by a carpenter bee. And we prayed for her, and she just kept serving. Marie and Lou, they was there at the Homeless Coalition, and just amazing what the Lord's doing in their lives.
Beautiful. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thank you for coming. So we have Scott Schwartz with us again. Everybody recognizes Scott. You're actually an in-house pastor here because he has an office right down the hall. So we allow him to use the room down there. He's got everything he needs down there. So he's actually an in-house. So he doesn't have to really travel that far to get up here to the pulpit. You slept here last night. That's great. That's great. But anyway, Scott, Life of Messiah, we're glad to have you back. Come on up.
All right, well, good morning. Am I on? Check. 1, 2. Can you hear me? I don't sound mic'd. It's not on. Hold on. How about now? Can you hear me? Am I mic'd? All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Good morning, everybody. So, the worship was pretty awesome, right? And I'm thinking, these guys really like Jesus. I think you guys really love Jesus. As Bruce had said earlier, summer's coming to an end, and some people don't like that summer's coming to an end, but I do, because football season is starting. And our friend, I think it's Ken. Yeah, he had a Giant shirt on, right, this morning? Yeah, so we got into it a little bit. And then he said, remember, we're at church. I said, okay. Because I'm an Eagles fan. So it's been great. I've actually, one thing I do when I preach at various churches is I go back to the previous week, right? And I see what's going on. I try to get the vibe. What's the Spirit saying? What are the people hearing? And you would agree with me that you guys have had some really awesome speakers as our brother's been on sabbatical, right? Yeah. Dave Berkey last week was just tremendous. So you guys have been blessed. I've been encouraged. It's been neat. I mentioned in prayer. It's just neat to see the church coming together and moving as one, as Keith has been on sabbatical. And it's been a blessing. You guys have been a blessing for me to see you just serving the Lord. So it's a tremendous blessing for me to see that and to be here. This morning, I'd love for you to open with me in your Bible to Mark chapter 4. If you have your Bible, do that. If you have a smartphone, please do that, because I'd love for us to see the text this morning. So it's Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41 will be our text. And the title of my message is Shalom in the Storm. Shalom in the Storm. And last time I was here in July. We looked at Isaiah 35, and the title of that message was Hope of the Future Kingdom, right? We looked at Isaiah 35, and somebody mentioned to me in the hallway, thanks for pointing out about sighing, because now I realize when I'm sighing, right? If you were here, I went through the dynamics of sighing and how the body reacts to stress, and so we looked at sighing and sorrow will flee away when we get to the kingdom. And we looked at what awaits us in heaven when the kingdom of God will be fully realized. So this morning, we're going to look at the life and ministry of our Messiah, Jesus. We're going to see a glimpse of the kingdom start to break into this broken world. Into that chaos, Jesus stands and speaks. We're going to see the King, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, the King of that kingdom manifests his power over all things, including the storms that roll into our lives. So with me, follow along with me, Mark chapter 4, verse 35, we read these words. Again, I'm reading out of the New King James because that's the one Jesus used. I'm going to milk that forever. All right, so shalom in the storm. Let's see what God's word has to say for us. Mark 4, verse 35 says this. On the same day when evening had come, he said to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were with him also. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, Rabbi, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, listen to this, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can be, in a way, transported back to this scene 2,000 years ago, where you, Jesus, were on a boat and you launched them into the sea and into a storm.
And Lord, I thank you that there are many lessons to be taught to us today through this wonderful passage. We see your power displayed in the life of the disciples. May we see your power displayed in our lives as well. We thank you for your death, your burial, and your resurrection, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bless us as we study your word. We invite you here in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So a little bit of background here. So the sea here is the Sea of Galilee. And if you go back into this chapter, Jesus is going to tell a series of parables to his followers. And the parables focus on the kingdom of God. So the theme here in Mark chapter 4 is the parables speaking of the kingdom of God. After this passage, they're going to go over the sea, and they're going to be met on the other side of the sea by a demoniac, right? And we're going to see the kingdom of God break in the life of that demon-possessed man, where Jesus delivers him of that demon. So the sea here is the Sea of Galilee. A few things here about the Sea of Galilee. It's an unusual body of water. It's relatively small. It's 13 miles long and only 7 miles wide. I had the privilege of visiting Israel in 2005, and we've heard this story. Tell me if you've ever heard the story of Jesus calming the sea and the waves, right? You've heard that story, and it's pretty amazing. And you think, wow, can this really happen? Does this really occur? Do storms come down over the mountains? It's kind of like there's mountains on the east, there's mountains on the west, and the wind shifts down and blows upon the Sea of Galilee, and storms happen like this, in the snap of a finger. And we were there, we were staying on the Sea of Galilee, and we went to this dock, and we had a worship service. We started singing to the Lord, and lo and behold, what do you think happened? A storm came through. And it was nighttime, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is amazing. And I looked out, and I envisioned myself being on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, like the disciples, and being scared, right? And we're going to see that they were afraid. We read that they were afraid. Of course they were afraid, because there were waves. And we're going to look at the action of the waves and the violence of the storm. But the scene here, to back up here in Mark 4, the scene before us is Jesus has just finished teaching all day. He's on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. Chapter 4 tells us that in the beginning. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude had gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat on it, on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Matthew, so the synoptics here, we have this story, this narrative is not only in Mark, but it's also in Luke, and it's also in Matthew. It's interesting here. Matthew tells us that he had just finished teaching a series of parables focusing on the kingdom of God, as I mentioned. I can imagine that Jesus right now is what? Tired, right? Because he's been ministering all day, and there's lots and lots of people wanting his attention. So when he finishes, he says to his disciples, let's get into the boat and head over to the other side of the sea. So here they are. They start out to head away from the multitude. The text tells us there's a few other boats along with them. People follow Jesus everywhere. He wants to, some scholars say he's trying to get away from the multitude. They launch out. It's calm. It's peaceful. And Jesus being tired, what happens? Jesus falls asleep. He falls asleep in the boat. Now, it's important to remember that a few of the disciples here with Jesus, there's 12, several of them are fishermen, right? So when we see their reaction as they're going to wake up Jesus, as I'm reading the text, I'm like, it's kind of comical, right? Here are fishermen. This isn't their first rodeo, and the waves are pounding, right? The wind is whipping, all right? It says this, and there was a great windstorm, and it arose, and the waves beat into the boat. And the text tells us so that it was already filling. I mean, the storm had come on so quickly. The waves were hitting the boat, that water is going in to the boat. And these fishermen, who probably fished in a storm before, are now reacting with tremendous fear. So this was their livelihood. Their reaction to the storm, as I mentioned, is a little surprising. Again, Matthew 8, verse 23 and 27 mentions this, and also Luke. And all three of these gospels emphasize the intensity of the moment. The intensity of the moment. Mark tells us that the waves, as I mentioned, beat into the boat. Listen to Matthew's account. Matthew adds that the waves are breaking into the boat, filling it with water. The New King James says, and suddenly, all right, think of these words. When you're reading the Bible, the words are important. Suddenly, this storm came upon them. I'm trying to bring us into this dramatic story so we can get the emotional aspect of what the disciples are feeling. So, the King James says this, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. All right? Water is coming into the boat. The wind is howling. Maybe they took the sail down to make their navigation much easier, and they're rowing, and they're scared, and they're frightened, and it's pitch black. I don't know how far they got from the coast, but if you look out into a dark sea, if you've ever been up to the beach and it's dark and you look out or you've fished at night, you can't see your hand in front of your face, right? It's really dark. And the boat is taking on water. This is quite the storm. Luke mentions the boat was filling with water and they were in great danger. The disciples were in great danger. The disciples freak out and they go, as the text says, and wake up Jesus, who is taking a nap. Do you guys find that comical? Jesus is obviously tired, and we can take great comfort in the fact that he was tired, because he was fully human and fully God, right? So when we get tired, when you're out all day, up at 4 o'clock, oh, and by the way, if you come to the men's Bible study, he says we're out at 7:30. He means it. Like 7:30, amen. Hey, Bruce, I got prayer. Oh, I got to go. But I need prayer. I got to cut grass. It's not that bad. But there's great comfort in knowing that Jesus knows what it feels like to be human. Amen? Hebrews 4 tells us this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God. This is God's invitation to you and me. Let us then approach God's throne with grace and with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God offers us grace and mercy in time of need. And the disciples here are getting an on-the-job training of what it means to trust the Messiah, right? Because these guys were going to be the foundation of the church. And Jesus is investing in them and showing them his power, because they're going to need it. They're going to need the power of God as they're ministering to a lost and dying world. We need God's power, amen, to live the Christian life, to walk in faith, to minister to those that are in need. We need God's Spirit. Again, Matthew's account, the waves were breaking into the boat, and immediately it says, and Matthew's account, okay, sorry, the waves were beating into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. That's how the text is written, but Jesus is sleeping. The disciples frantically wake him up, shouting, Rabbi, Rabbi, teacher, listen to this. Don't you care that we're going to drown? As I was studying this, I thought to myself, of course he cares. He's asleep. Think of the rationale that's going on in the disciples' mind. Do you not care? Yes, Jesus cares, but he's sleeping. He doesn't know what's going on. but they're afraid. They're overcome with fear. It's almost comical, but the Lord, it's not comical, but the Lord of the storm is also the Lord of Shalom. The disciples frantically wake him, shouting, "We're going to drown." They thought that they were going to die. They had come face to face with what they thought was going to be their end. They thought they were going to die. So here, our first point, we see that the disciples doubted, right? The disciples doubted. I wonder, have you ever been there? Have you ever been there where you've asked the question, "Lord, do you care? Lord, do you care?" I know I've been there, right, where we ask these deep questions. I think we've all been tempted to ask that question. And I'm so glad that God is not afraid of our questions. When we find ourselves in doubt, we need to depend on the Lord. Amen? When we find ourselves in doubt, we need to depend on the Lord. As I mentioned, this was the Messiah's first lesson here on the boat to these young disciples. God was teaching them dependence on Jesus in every situation, right? When we are face to face with trials, we have a choice that we can either turn away or turn to the Lord, right? The sun either softens things, right? Melts things, softens or hardens things. We have a choice to turn to or turn away. And recently, I'll just be a little transparent. You know, I have a ministry to the Jewish community here, and I recently was posted online on a counter missionary website. So we are sharing the gospel, and there's folks that counter what we do. Incredible opposition. It had my picture. Actually, one of the pictures is me here at the pulpit. They went online. Think of how creepy this is, right? There's a picture of me and my wife at an anniversary dinner on Facebook. That's there. There's a picture of my testimony video, and there's a picture of me at Trinity preaching. And it's a little creepy, right? It's like they have invaded my privacy. And my reaction was kind of like the Wizard of Oz. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, right? I went from 0 to 100. And as I'm studying this passage, the Lord reminds me, don't be like the disciples, right? Do you care? Do you see? I'm going to die. They're going to come and do all these things. They're going to find out where we live. Someone says, you need to get yourself a concealed carry. I'm like, settle down. I have the Lord to protect me. But we're all tempted, right, to doubt and to not believe, especially when we're facing a storm. So God was teaching them dependence on Jesus in every situation. How did Yeshua respond, right? How did Yeshua respond? Well, we see it. He demonstrated his power over nature, right? He didn't say, look at me, stand back, take notes, right? He could have, but he stood up and he faced, as it were, the enemy and right in the face. It was a showdown. He demonstrated his power over nature. Verses 39, Jesus demonstrated his power. Jesus here wakes up and rebukes the wind and the waves. Jesus' second lesson here to his disciples was to show them that he had power over all creation. Jesus actually speaks to the wind and speaks to the waves. We just had Hurricane Aaron, right? Blow through. Did anyone go up to see the waves? Did anyone check online? It was pretty fierce, right? It could have been a lot worse. Thankfully, the storm was off the coast. Can you imagine all of us going up during this storm and speaking to the ocean? Stop! Don't move any. Right? Like, stop! People would think we're a little loony, right? If they don't already. But Jesus, think of the narrative here. Jesus actually does this. Jesus stands up. It can give you chills if you think about it. Jesus, fully human and fully God, speaks to the waves and the wind. And we're all from Jersey here. We've been in the water. Water is powerful, right? Hurricane Sandy, you get caught in a rip current, right? I lived in Vermont. We had Hurricane Irene, and it wiped out like 90% of the infrastructure in Vermont. Water, it doesn't say, excuse me, can you step out of the way? It comes. It's so powerful. It's so forceful. And Jesus speaks to that part of creation. And he rebukes the wind and the waves. He says, peace, be still. The word here, rebuke and peace, in the Greek, means to muzzle. All right? He is muzzling this storm. Many say that this storm is a symbol maybe of the enemy, how he roars, right? He speaks to the storm. We see this example of God quieting many things in the word. Jesus rebukes a demon, right? So the word is to muzzle, to be quiet. Jesus rebukes a demon in Mark 1:25. It says this, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. Notice the result of Jesus' command. The wind ceased and there was great calm. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? We went from a raging storm where the disciples thought that they were going to die. Waves smashing against the boat so much, so fiercely, forcefully, that the water is coming into the boat and they're thinking they're going to die. One scholar says this, it's not merely a natural calm, but a great calm. Not a slow calm, but a sudden one. Jesus changes the situation with the snap of his finger. So we see that Jesus has muzzled evil spirits. He has told the evil spirits to be quiet. He's told the winds and the waves to be quiet. And what do? They obey him. We see him speak to sickness. Even a fever leaves immediately in Luke 4:39. And he tells his disciples, he muzzles his disciples in Mark 8:33 when they needed to be rebuked or to be corrected. So whenever Jesus speaks, his word carries absolute authority. Amen? Over creation, over demons, over disease, and over the human heart. Amen? I'll say that again. He has absolute authority over creation, over demons, over disease, and over the human heart. What we see on the Sea of Galilee is just a small glimpse of the kingdom of God. A world where nothing stands against the commands of Christ. The last time I was here, as I mentioned, we were looking at the results of the final kingdom of God, where sorrow and sighing will flee away, right? There'll be beauty. The earth will be fully restored. We will have complete shalom. We are in the kingdom, but it's not fully here. And here, Jesus is giving us splashes of the kingdom to come, of speaking to creation, of driving out evil spirits, of healing sicknesses. Some scholars say all of these things are sent forth from the enemy. Sin, sickness, and even great storms that cause destruction, some say, are sent from the enemy. And here, Jesus is beginning to, as it were, reverse the curse. Amen? He is tremendously powerful. The powerful words of Jesus. He speaks, and everything changes. Has his words ever produced calm in your life? I'm sure they have. They have in mine, especially when I say lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Notice here in verse 40 and 41, the disciples were in disbelief. right? The waves had ceased. The wind stopped blowing. Can you imagine what, you know, the wind, right? We hear wind, sometimes it blows so hard, it's like a freight train. That's what's going on. It's like barreling down between the mountains into the valley, and the waves are stirred up, and water's in the boat, and it's just panic, and it's commotion, and it's chaos. And Jesus stands up in the midst of the chaos and says, "Be quiet." And it was probably like that. Complete calm. Jesus is the one that brings us peace. Jesus is the one that dispels the chaos. And the disciples were in disbelief over how quickly things turned. It says here that they feared exceedingly. Jesus says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear. They were filled with awe. So that word fear there means awe, like great awe. I can't believe what's going on. And we see them tell us what's going on in their hearts. "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and they said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Tremendous, right? Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? Here are the future leaders of God's church, right? Having on-the-job training, right? Experiencing the power of the Lord. And I'm sure as they were planting churches and they were on their missionary journeys, they were looking back at God's faithfulness, right? I heard one time in Bible college, one professor said to me, "God's past faithfulness encourages our present trust." Isn't that amazing? God's past faithfulness encourages our present trust. So when Jesus stood up in the boat and spoke to the storm, he just wasn't performing a miracle to rescue his disciples. He was actually doing much more. Yes, he wanted to save them, right? Because if the waves and the wind didn't stop, the boat probably would have sunk. But Jesus was showing them that he is the Messiah. He wasn't just performing a miracle to rescue the disciples. He was revealing his divine identity. Only God has power over creation. Psalm 89, 8 and 9 says this, "O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty like you, with your faithfulness all around you? You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them." He asked his disciples a question that must have pierced their hearts. He asked, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" I do not believe that this question was to condemn the disciples, but to challenge them, right? I don't believe he was condemning them, but he was challenging them. The lesson that they were learning is that he was more than a man. He was the God-man. He is the long-awaited Messiah who has the power over sin, sickness, and even the wind and the waves. When caught in the storms of life, it's easy to think that God has lost control. Would you agree? When caught in the storms of life, it's easy to think that God has lost control and that we are at the mercy of the winds of faith. Right? That God is not there, that we control our own destiny. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. We just moved our daughter down to East Tennessee State University, and a lot of people say that my daughter Ari is a mini me. And I see her operate, and I kind of see, it's like a mirror. I'm like, oh, okay, she gets anxious. Well, you get anxious, okay. You get worried. She gets worried. Oh, you get worried. And it's just neat to see our kids grow, right? And God launches them, and they are face-to-face with their own trials. Right? So she's going to be living on her own in her own apartment, getting married in December. She's got to pay all her own bills, right? This is just the way it is, life. They grow up. And she's so scared. And she puts this application in to a local restaurant. And she put it in the morning, and 6 o'clock comes, and we're having dinner, and she's like, they didn't call me. I'm like, sweetheart, it's only been 8 hours. Let's breathe together. Let's breathe. And so the next day, she texts me, I got hired. I'm like, wouldn't you know it, right? Why were you fearful? Why were you worrying, right? Just like the disciples, we worry and we fear. So God is in control. God is powerful. Hebrews 1:3 says this, God in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the worlds, upholding them by the word of his power. Right? So when storms come, Jesus is holding that storm in his hand. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in his garment? Isn't that amazing? I had no idea that this passage of scripture was in there as I'm studying. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If you know. Solomon is asking that question. Jesus, who calmed the storms of nature, can also calm the storms of a troubled heart. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, God's past faithfulness encourages our present trust. So, a few points of application for us. But first, did you guys like that song, Who Else? It was amazing, right? The presence of God. Would you like to sing it again? All right, so at the end of my message, I'm going to do a benediction. We're going to sing that song, and I'll come up and pray us out. But who else, right? He holds the power of all things. The application here, when you are tempted to doubt, depend on the Lord. All right, when you're tempted to doubt, depend on the Lord. When you find yourself in a storm, ask God to demonstrate his power. Amen? When you find yourself in a storm, ask God to demonstrate his power. The disciples were in awe of the power displayed by Jesus. We can also be in the same place as the disciples. We ourselves can be in awe of the power of God. As we sang earlier, who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? Amen? Only Jesus. Amen? So why don't we all stand again? And let's just worship again. Let's sing that song. And after we're finished, I'll come up and close us out in prayer.
I am an instrument of exaltation. And I was born to lift your name above all names. You hear the melody of all creation. But there's a song of praise that only I can bring. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no is worthy. Who else is worthy? There is no one, only Jesus. You are the infinite God of the ages. Yeah, you chose to make my heart your dwelling place. You healed my broken. Show me your glory. So I have songs of thanks not even angels sing. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is worthy. Where shall we go? He has the words of eternal life. Amen. Somebody needs to hear this verse. It came to my mind. I'm going to close with this. I pray that the Lord use my stammering mouth today in my message. I know many are going through some storms, right? There are some outcomes that you're waiting to hear. Things are difficult. We can all agree, right? Life is difficult. But Isaiah 41:10 says this. I'll close with this. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have the power to quiet the wind and the waves. Thank you that your name is higher than any other name. Yes. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And Lord, I thank you that we can claim these words, that you tell us to fear not, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for you are our God. You will strengthen us, you will help us, you will uphold us with your righteous right hand. Reach down, grab our hand, Lord, and walk with us and strengthen us and be with us. We know that you will be. We thank you for today. Lord, I pray for the team going into Lakewood. Would you bless them, God? Would you anoint them? Would they deliver a message of hope to people in need? And we commit the day to you. We thank you for your love. You've proved the Father's love through Jesus. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. And we say thank you as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Be blessed.
all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Sing hallelujah
to our God.